gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong!
What? It's not normal.
This is disturbing!
Game over.
Planet X, Nibiru, megaquakes, nuclear war, martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, where do we begin? So, it has been, you know, as far as being able to pull out or whatever from the rush of news that's constantly moving, now it's on mainstream. So you can watch, you know, Fox, whoever you want to listen to. It doesn't really matter. There's a lot of opinions out there that are flying around. A lot of blame games, a lot of finger pointing, things like that. And but as far as looking for something that's a big thing, okay, it's, and there's a lot of people that have, you know, different feelings about this. I had one person share with me just this morning how they I can't believe that, you know, Graham, you know, Senator Graham was killed by Russia. You know, I'm sure that, you know, and the person felt pretty confident that that was the case. I'm going to throw out some other ideas for you to chew on, to think about. But we, you know, it's just, you know, critical thinking is something that I believe that I can teach a little bit, but it is also something that I think from a very tiny child, sometimes as young as under 10 even, you will start to be that type of person. Let me give you an example. For example, I was the type of kid. Now, my dad was a school teacher in the school district in Lower Dauphin School District, and he was the director of music for that. He used to play with the Glenn Miller Orchestras and travel around. And back then, in those days, well, if you were traveling with the Glenn Miller Orchestras, you were like Van Halen, okay? So you were very popular. So anyway, my dad eventually settled in at Lower Dauphin School District and became the director of, you know, the superintendent of music ultimately. So that made my schooling dynamics very interesting. I was a target of bullies, you know, people that didn't like my dad in his role as a music teacher, which there were a lot, because he was kind of, you know, hardcore. Okay, so you know, and I was in his band, you know, there for a while before my family had moved to a different location, and then I moved to a different school and blah 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 blah. But whatever, my dad was the type that when he was, you know, when he would be directing the band, you know, he would take his drumstick and he'd whack it on the a music stand that he had in front of him. And if the drums got out of sync, he would take the drumstick and whip it at the drummers, you know, especially the bass drummer. It was one of his targets. Now, nowadays, my dad would have been thrown in jail. Okay. But the reason I bring that up is because I wanted to impress upon you the very uncommon school dynamics that I had. You know, it really changes things. It changes a lot of things. Well, anyway, to pluck out the point I was trying to make out of all of this was that I would get, there would be people that would try to attack me. Okay, they would know who I was, and, you know, and so they would, you know, they would, you had the jocks, you had the heads. You remember this stuff going back that far? How many out there remember those days? I mean, there's even movies out there, you know, about teenagers in high school and stuff like that. Now, they don't have the, as far as I know, jocks and the heads like we had back in the 70s, all right? But, I was neither, okay? I was a band geek, okay, which was a category in and of itself. So, but the point is this, because of being targeted and people, you know, walking down, you know, the hallways are just, you know, completely crushed full of kids moving from one, you know, room to another room. And you know, next thing you know, somebody come up behind me and they would like shove me with all of their might. Well, you know, my way of dealing with that was very aggressive. Now, I didn't, you know, and so what I would do, I'm just going to cut to the chase because I don't want to waste the whole show on this story, but I would turn, if somebody did that to me, I would literally turn in the middle of the hall in front of everybody, which oftentimes was several hundred people, kids, and I would grab the individual who did that and literally lift them up in the air and smash them against the wall. Now, granted, I'm a different person nowadays, and I'm probably completely physically incapable of doing that right now. But back in high school, that was how you make a name for yourself. So when the heads, which were the troublemakers, the ones that were the hoods and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, when they would come to attack me, I would so whatever level of aggression they used against me, I would use probably 3 to 4 times more aggression against them. That example that I just gave you, where I picked the one guy up and slammed him against the wall, his head was way above my head by at least a foot as I was pushing him up against the wall, slamming him against the wall. Well, I guess one of the assistant principals or whatever, some teacher, I don't know, I don't remember, it's too long ago, came up and said to the person that I threw up against a wall and then threw down the hallway, where kids were like diving out of the way to get out of the way of his sliding body on the polished floors. The person was employed by the high school, and I don't know who it was, came down and he looked at the kid that I threw down the hall and he said, "I don't know what you said to this big guy, but whatever it was, I would go out of my way to never say it again." Well, things like that would happen to me all the time. So I would end up down at the, you know, principal's office. Now, this wouldn't happen. When I say all the time, it was like maybe 3 times in my entire, you know, some 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, maybe 3 times I ended up going to the principal's office. Well, this is where it's ingrained in you. So I can teach critical thinking skills to some degree, but there's another degree of critical thinking skills, practicing them, that requires something, I don't know, baked into your personality. An example of that would be, so I'd be waiting for my turn to go into the principal's office, and there was a little bench right outside of his office, and anybody that was going to be going in there would have to queue up on that bench. Well, when I was sitting on that bench, I would be like rehearsing. Now, I wouldn't do that today because, you know, I would call myself a kind of a I'm a Christian that takes Christianity extremely seriously, if you don't already know that. And so where I'm going with that is that back then when I was a kid, I wasn't practicing what I'm, you know, I want to be humble. I want to live the Beatitudes. I don't want to have any pride. I don't want to have anything but love in my heart for other people. But when I was in high school, I didn't feel that way. Okay. So anyway, what I would do is I would sit there, and of course I'm totally against lying because that'll get you thrown in hell. Okay. And just read Revelation. I'll tell you about that. All liars and yada, yada, yada. And people that are fraidy cats, you know, people that lack courage, it says a lot of different people with different dispositions will be cast into the lake of fire. So it's a pretty scary dynamic. Well, anyway, you know, scripturally speaking. So I would sit there. This is, you know, again, before I was a Christian, and at least this kind of Christian, my mom. But anyway, and I would practice what I was going to say for every possible scenario, because sometimes I didn't know why I was going to the principal's office at all. So I would think, all right, well, what if he asked me this question? You know, and then I would say, well, I'm going to answer it this way. And then what if he asked me that question? Well, I'm going to answer it this way. What if he asked me this question? I'm going to answer it that way. And I would practice over and over again every possible scenario or every possible thing that he might ask me and how I was going to respond to it. So I was completely, it's kind of like if you've ever seen Law and Order and movies or shows like that. You have where the lawyer, especially in the case of the defense, they will practice what they're going to be saying. And the lawyers will teach, you know, body language, what not to say, what to say, how your eyes should look, how your eyes should not look. And that was kind of like how I was. But it was baked into me. I was born with it like that. Okay, so anyway, so critical thinking, and this is why, and the reason why I'm sharing this is because it's ever so important in today's world. Okay, you can either just go ahead and believe everything I say, or you can do your own homework and make up your own opinion, which is perfectly fine with me. I don't care. I have no negative feelings about that at all. Praise Jesus. But there is a concept that helps a lot, and it's called quid bono, which, by the way, was used very frequently in the documentary 7-7 Ripple Effect. The guy that originally did 7, and maybe you do remember, maybe you remember, maybe you don't remember. 7-7 Ripple Effect was one of the first conspiracy documentaries to come out having to do with shootings that took place in the United Kingdom. Okay, and what the person was endeavoring to do in the documentary was to prove that it wasn't what everybody thought it was. And so, and as he would walk you through the different scenarios, this person did this person, this judge, you know, judge this way, all these different things, he would say, quid bono, who benefits? And he would keep saying it over and over again. Now, who benefits is the equivalent of, if you were in a capital crimes case, is the equivalent of saying, well, we got to have a motive. And the only time they don't need a motive for a capital crime is if the person is psychotic, kind of like Draco T. All right. You know, that's pretty much the gist of it. So there's always got to be a motive. Who benefits? Who benefits? All right. Hopefully you're following along with what I'm saying this far. Now let's apply that, okay, to this whole thing about Senator Lindsey Graham getting killed. All right. So there's a lot of little details, and one of the things you got to do when you're really putting using your critical thinking skills and applying quid bono and all that other stuff to it is there's a lot of superfluous information that quite frankly isn't worth even considering. And what it will actually do is it will confuse your thinking. So the first step really would be take all the information out that doesn't matter. Right? So does it matter that the reports were that he had a sudden illness, okay, which we already know is a lie. Sudden illness, and you know, and you found out very soon after that he died. Okay, and that the family was grieving, and you know, please let him alone, and all this kind of stuff. Then later leaks out that he actually died in the Ukraine, and that's when everybody started going at it, just one thing after another. Now, the first thing you want to try to do is identify all the stuff that you don't care about. Okay, and if I use this against the Charlie Kirk death. Assassination. Look, it was the Israeli Mossad. I have proof. I have visual proof. I have photographs to prove it. I just can't put them up on the website. If I do, they're going to kill me. Okay, I there's a lot of ways to go. Okay, but I don't want to go, you know, if I can avoid it. Although, really, when you think about it, a Mossad assassin's bullet shot from a long way away wouldn't be too bad of a way to go, because they're going to try to go for the kill shot on the first bullet of the trigger. And that would mean that you're in heaven lickety split. So that's, I don't know, I might have to rethink that one. But anyway, let's examine it. So there's this concept you need to know about called Occam's razor. Occam's razor is what people do when they're analyzing something. Who could have done it? Occam's razor is what, when you see all the time in the police shows, on a you know, whether it be Law and Order or any other crime drama or whatever the case is, and they arrest the wrong person, that's because the police applied Occam's razor. They said, well, if this and this and this and this, it you know, 99 out of 100 times, it's going to be the husband that committed the murder. Okay, so even if the husband called the police, even if the husband, whatever the case may be, they're going to be looking at that, you know, if it perfect alibi, all that stuff. The police are always going to be looking at the husband over and over and over. And a lot of times, they'll throw people in jail. Occam's razor was what they used back in, oh goodness gracious, what was it, the 30s, the 40s, you know, but back when, you know, there was, it, when you know, prejudice against African-American people was, you know, I don't even think about those things anymore, but there's a lot of movies about these. And Occam's razor is when they say, well, the guy's black, so you got to throw him in jail. Obviously, it was him. You know, they could line everybody up. There's one black guy and 10 white guys. They'd say it was a black guy every single time. That's knee-jerk Occam's razor. It's like you're just going for the easy win. How many times have any of us seen a crime drama where a person was wrongfully accused and they went for the easy win and they said it must be this person? They grabbed them, threw them in jail, and the person never did do it. Okay? So you need to know when you're applying critical thinking skills that people are going, everybody that's looking at the situation, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to apply Occam's razor, and they're going to go after the most obvious, hopefully you're following around, and the most obvious thing, if Lindsey Graham died over in the Ukraine, the most obvious Occam's razor reason would be because he was touring a Ukrainian drone manufacturing facility and it made Putin mad, so Putin had to kill him. Hold on a second. No way. Not even close. Putin has been holding off since what? 2022? The original reason he went over there was to denazify the Ukraine. The reason why he isn't killing Ukrainian citizens is because they are relatives of the people that he, you know, supports in Russia. The thing is, so here he has been holding back for years and years and years and years and years, having every justification under the sun to launch a nuke. And they've got the Satan II missile, which has, you know, multiple, like 10 independent reentry, you know, multiple independent reentry vehicles that are all nuclear capable. He could just send one of those flying across Europe and just completely wipe out every single military, United Nations headquarters, the whole deal. But he hasn't done any of that. He hasn't done anything. He knows that these evil ones, I'm just going to leave it at that because there's so many of them, he knows that the evil ones want him to go to war. He explained to everybody why he was going in and doing the military police action in the first place. To denazify because of the Banderites. Okay, if you understand the history of the Ukraine under Bandera, they joined Nazi Germany, Hitler, and they slaughtered thousands, tens of thousands, millions, I think even. I don't even know how many. Don't even get me going on the Bolshevik Revolution. That was absolutely beyond insane. And guess who's behind all these things? Okay, you can guess. All right, so anyway, the SOS, if you want to know. But here's the thing. Ask yourself who benefits. In what way does Vladimir Putin of Russia benefit by taking out Lindsey Graham? Lindsey Graham is one person in what? Over a 400 completely sold out to Satan Congress that's owned by AIPAC and doing the bidding of the SOS under Draco T. And I have evidence of him being a Draco. Lots of it on TribulationNow.com. Okay, so it's not, this isn't something that's up for debate. Draco T's a Draco. Hillary Clinton is a 12-foot tall Draco. We have the evidence. We've had the evidence for years, a long, long time. Now, once you got the evidence, do you got to debate it anymore? Once you know that T is a Draco, that Hillary is a 12-foot tall Draco, when you know these things, why would you put any more thought into it? You already know that they're part of the deepest, darkest evil that the universe has coughed up, pretty much. Because the Dracos, unlike the regular reptilians, which there are many different versions of, the Dracos are the ones that have the wings and the horns, and they're like second in command underneath Satan. They're like on the board of directors of Satan himself. Okay? That's important to know. So, why would Putin benefit by killing Lindsey Graham? He would not benefit at all. You cannot think of a reason why. The only thing he could do is... So who would? Ask yourself that question. Who would benefit? Well, think about it. What have they been trying to do? And when I say they, I mean the evil ones. And boy, are there a lot of them. So just, you know, give me the artistic, linguistic luxury of just calling them they people, the evil they people. What do they want? Well, we already know. They want war. They want to reduce the population to the Georgia Guidestones level. They want to bring us 8 billion to what? 500 million or less for the Great Tribulation. When you get all these things, there is no motive for Putin. The only thing that makes sense is that someone, I don't know who that is, someone that's on the evil they side that wants the world to go to war with Russia, along with the whole thing going on with Iran and everything else under the sun that's going to eventually explode out of that whole situation, including China, Taiwan, you name it, South Korea, North Korea, the whole deal. I mean, you pretty much can't barely even mention a country that's not going to be involved when all heck breaks loose in the World War III dynamic. Okay, but for right now, the only ones out of the darkness would be someone who wanted Putin to be blamed for killing Lindsey Graham. Now, wait a minute. But isn't it fascinating that Lindsey Graham was identified in the Iranian protests? They actually took pictures, they had photographs, pictures, drawings, whatever you want to call it, of Draco T and Vance and Lindsey Graham and a whole bunch of other politicians in the United States that they wanted to be dead, that they felt were had direct responsibility to some degree or another for killing Khamenei, okay, or whatever. And that's the deal. So now they've got photographs of people in Iran during the 7-day funeral procession for Khomeini. I say Khomeini, but a lot of people leave the 4K silent. I don't care. Here's the thing. So are they trying to blame it on Iran? Isn't it fascinating that shortly after, Trump comes out and says, if anybody assassinates me from Iran, you know, I want the entire military to just completely wipe them out. And I remember even cracking a joke when he said that. I'm like, look at this. He thinks that his orders are going to last beyond. That's how puffed up this guy is. Draco T thinks his orders are going to last beyond his death. That they're just going to be standing orders forever and ever. Amen. That's what he thinks. Because that's how demented Draco T is. So I found it fascinating to see that Draco T was making such a proclamation, okay, right after the Graham event. So if you connect those two together, now you have even more motivation, more evidence to indicate that this is more about Iran, likely from a likelihood standpoint. From a likelihood standpoint, we have no guarantees. But from a likelihood standpoint, it surely looks much more likely that this might have been Iran sponsored. But wait. Now we have to apply quid bono to Iran. In what way does Iran benefit by, let's pretend that Draco T actually was spooked and he was really concerned about getting shot by somebody from Iran. Let's pretend he wasn't lying, which is like one in a million chance. Then you have to ask your question, is there something we missed? Because they're already fighting. They're already warring, Iran and the United States. And soon, you know, dagnabbit well, it's going to be, you know, synagogue Satan and that whole deal. It's all lined up. And so at the end of the day, we don't have an official, we don't have anybody to point the finger at yet. But if it's anything like the Charlie Kirk situation, people will never let it go. They're going to keep on talking about it. Oh, it's this. If it was Iran, how's Iran going to benefit? They're already bombing the dickens out of everything in the GCC and in Bahrain and Kuwait. And I heard there were bombings even in Qatar and they were supposed to, and it's just on and on and on it goes. And where it stops, nobody knows. So the jury is out on this. We don't really have anybody. Now, you could say that Iran has a motive, but what would be the end game of that motive? Okay, let's say they did send somebody from their, you know, I don't know, their version of the CIA, which I have no idea what that'd be called. I just don't know. But if they sent them over and they had them, you know, pose as a Ukrainian or somebody working in the factory and they shot Lindsey Graham. Well, what accomplishment did they accomplish? What did they do? What, you know, if you kill your husband and knowing that he has a $2.7 million, you know, life insurance contract, okay, and you can make it look like it wasn't suicide because it had a anti-suicide clause in it. You following along? I'm sure you are. But anyway, here's the point. We don't know. I can't think of anything that Iran benefits by doing that. They're already doing what they're doing. The war is on. You can't go to bed at night anymore. You can't look away, because what's happening right now? The bombs are flying. Bomb, 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 bomb. Everywhere. All right. So right now, for me, the jury is out, because I'm looking for someone or something, some country, some group that has a undeniable benefit. Quid bono. The guy that put together the documentary 7/7 Ripple Effect was actually thrown in prison for life because one of the judges in the UK threw him in jail for life. Why? Because of the 7/7 Ripple Effect, because he was blowing the whistle on all the people that were involved, the conspiracy. I still have that. Anyway, So I personally, at this time, for me, the jury's out, because I can't. There's definitely no benefit to Iran. Oh, well, you know, that Lindsay, you know. Now, you could say, well, that would be one less person pushing for the destruction of Iran. But right now, under the synagogue of Satan, under AIPAC, and under all of the evil that's embedded so deeply in, you know, the United States of Babylon the Great's Congress, at this point, does one person really matter? Really? Enough to go and do it? Really? I don't think so. I'm sorry. So for me, the jury's out, okay? Because I don't see anybody that has a good enough motive to do it. That it would make a difference. No way. One guy. Kaput. And that it would make a difference in global war dynamics. And the answer is absolutely not. There would be no difference for Iran, no difference for Putin, no difference for any of them. So now we have to wait. We have to wait until the details shake out. So quid bono, who benefits, is your best friend. Because unless you're talking about some kind of a whacked out serial killer type of a person, you got to have a motive. You have to have a motive. All right. So anyway, I wanted to share that because that logic, that, you know, who benefits, quid bono logic, is applicable to all of us as we're thinking through the things that we see happening around about us. Okay. Praise God. Now, let me think. There was one other thing I wanted to share. Oh, okay. Wait, one more thing. So it was brought to my attention that some folks were saying that I sounded stressed. Well, I wasn't aware of that, but I do sometimes, and I have every reason to be stressed. Okay, and I've talked to a lot of you, or maybe even on the show live, I don't remember, about my workload and what's happening. Right now, I'm operating on a wing and a prayer. I absolutely am. Okay, I've got two simultaneous projects. Both of them, one of them in particular is it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. The visibility is up to the tippity top. And I'm stuck right in the middle of it. And I got to make it work. But there's all kinds of conflicts going on and different teams that are involved. And they all have different visions. And, you know, and I'm stuck right in the middle of it. I mean, I'm holding the bag. So if anything goes wrong, or the client is not happy, or whatever the case may be, I'm done. You will not be hearing this voice ever again. Or if you do, it'll probably be from Belize. I do have my passport. It is in process. It is getting processed. And so far, there have been no, you know, armed Marines breaking down the front of my house and saying, "Where is that wacky guy called Johnny Baptist? We're going to arrest him right now and hand him over to the SOS and Draco T and all of those people." You know? So nothing has happened. It's going through the processing. Now, look, does that mean that I'm going to move to Belize? No, it doesn't mean that necessarily. I don't know. I don't think any of us have any idea what we're going to do in the days to come. And I don't even think for sure we know for certain how long this is going to drag out. Are we still on a 2030 timeline? Is Apophis still the most likely candidate for being the meteor that smashes into the Atlantic Ocean, causing the great earthquake in Revelation 6:12, Ezekiel 38, verse 19? Is it? If we're still on the 2030 timeline, which a lot of indicators look like, it really does. It really looks like we're still on the 2030 timeline. It really does. If we are, which it really does look like it, then, you know, all these things are going to have to bubble up and happen pretty quick. Okay. And we're, you know, where we're going to be, what we're going to be up to, what we're going to be doing, whether or not we're going to get thrown into a FEMA camp, all that kind of stuff is going to be contingent upon how fast they roll these different things into play. You know, look, We have the National Defense Authorizations Act of 2027, which I believe just got signed, and they're still trying to fight over a section of the bill, which basically merges the IDF, the SOS IDF, with the U.S. military, and they become one and the same. Isn't that handy? Because after all, the Noahide laws, the SOS wants to chop all our heads off and, I guess, drink our blood and get adrenochrome and all that other stuff that they like to do, right? So it's really coming together in the most magnanimous way. There's harmony and synergies and synchronicities on a level that is very difficult to articulate. And the people that you would want to articulate it to aren't going to listen anyway, because invariably they're going to be retired. Invariably they're going to be not paying attention. They'll be satisfied with all of the people that told them they were prophets or were known as prophets over the years, and they'll believe them because they've been believing them now for decades. Okay. And that's so-and-so said, or so-and-so this and so, and I'm like, fine. We already know that, and I've mentioned this before in prior programs, throwing your pearls before, I will not use the term swine. I'm sorry. I will not do that. Throwing your pearls before people who are limited. Okay. I'm not going to call, I'm just not going to use that term. That term, it just doesn't work for me. People that are limited, they're limited in what they see, limited in their understanding of things. They're going to, no doubt, to gatherings of the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ in various buildings and churchianity facilities. And there's no doubt that there are stars of Remphim, Acts 7:14, all over those sanctuaries. And probably several of the elders are packing heat to, kill people with guns, which, of course, I'm like, all I can ever say, because I can't reason through that one. That's why I knew that Jesus would never allow us to use guns. You can't shoot your way into heaven. What happened to everybody's "what would Jesus do" bracelet? How come the scripture warns us? Okay, and I'm trying to pull this up right here, but the scripture warns us. Okay, listen. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 6. But know this, that in the last days... When is that? When is the last days? Oh, whoopsie-daisy. Now! Tribulation now! Only had to wait 15 years, borderlining on 16 now. Yeah, because it's July. So I hit the 15-year mark. So now I'm working on year 16. Jiminy crickets! Any of you out there that remember Captain Dale Black coming on the program a couple of times back in the day when Blog Talk Radio was still up? Well, he emailed me after I put the little thing about the Church of Iran on the website, and he emailed me and said some very complimentary and loving things, because that's the kind of guy he is. He's one of the real Christians. He would never use a gun. Never. What would Jesus do? He would never use a gun. Anybody who thinks that's the case, they have no idea what they're talking about. I wish I could help everybody, and maybe I'll do a special, because things are moving kind of slow right now, and I probably, maybe some people would benefit by me doing a focused, without going into a long multi-hour diatribe about stuff, just pointing to the scriptures and saying, look what it says. Why would Jesus say, that's enough? When the apostles only brought back 2 swords for 13 people. Why would that be enough? 2 swords for 13 people. Well, if you read the scripture carefully enough, you will see that it says in the scripture right there, it says that he would be acknowledged amongst the transgressors. That was a prophecy out of Isaiah, I'm pretty sure. And that's why Jesus wanted them to get the swords in the first place, so he could be acknowledged as one as part of the transgressors, troublemakers. That's what it was all about. Never did any of them use any form of violence ever. Oh, but Jesus turned the tabernacles over in the, or the tables over in the tabernacle. I'm like, you're going to use that as an excuse for gunning down people and thinking you're going to heaven while you're shooting? Boom, you take a bullet, and the next thing you know, you're like, no, you're not going to be standing in front of Jesus. I just can't even imagine that in a million years. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Is that happening now? I think so. Let's check the box. Lovers of money. Oops, we know that one. Look at all of our Congress. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having, this is so important, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. I'm not going to mention any names. I'm not even going to hint around about it. But somebody that was having a conversation with me said, well, you know, I need to go do this and I need to go do that and I need to go do this and I need to go do that. And I said to him, why don't you lay your hands on it and say in the mighty name of Jesus Christ? And it was like, they said, oh, huh. Like it didn't occur to them. So anyway, it's important. These things are all important in our walk today. We need to understand these things because they're going to be thrown into our face. We need to understand that we have the authority in Christ, in Jesus, in the name of Jesus, to be able to cast out these devils. Anyway, so what I was trying to say is that, as it says in Luke 10:19, you know, because it came, you know, the 70 that he sent out, you know, came back and they were like, and even the demons listen to your name. And he said, and Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Hey, we can trample on Draco T. We can trample on Hillary C. Right? Rodham. Hillary R. Rodham. We can trample on serpents and scorpions and over and have power over all the, you know, authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. When we are using the name of Jesus against the evil powers and the demons of darkness, they can't hurt us. They can't hurt us. So you should unless you're lacking faith, I wouldn't recommend that you do this if you're lacking faith, okay? So if your hands are visibly shaking, you don't want to walk outside your house in front of a large group of really bad people that want to kill you and say to them, you know, in the name of Jesus, I bind and cast the devils of Satan out of you. Drop your weapons in Jesus' name. You don't want to do that if your hands are shaking, because your hands are shaking are evidence of lack of faith. You know, then in that case, expect the worst. Okay. But anyway, so it's all very important for us to have a grasp of, especially now because of how creepy all the global dynamics are. Now, so I did want to share that with you. And let me see. So right now we're at a place where, oh my, let me think here. Okay. Now I'm going to bring up this because it's so relevant to what's going on right now. C14 News, which I do believe, and I'm going to validate this right now. Who is C14 News? I think it's Israel news station. I'm going to validate that. Waiting for an answer. Okay, C14 generally, no. C14 New. So I might be all sideways on this. It does say C14 News, and I'm trying to get a closer look. Nope. Okay. Okay. So anyway, So this particular content provider on X, we'll just leave it at that. I did think it was linked to an actual media outlet, but evidently it's not. But according to this individual, there are debates taking place that the forces of darkness are debating whether or not they should put boots on the ground to deal with the deep underground nuclear bases or facilities, or should they use a nuclear bomb? And I have just, I'll state it again, it's so important, I have a collection of articles going all the way back to 2012 of, for example, one is a retired IDF, some kind of a general or a colonel, and he made a public statement. And he said, the only way we're going to be able to get to the underground, the nuclear facilities in Iran is to use a nuclear bomb. The conventional weapons will not do it. So they've been talking about this since 2012. Then you had the Dr. David O'Rourke vision, where he saw, in his vision, he saw, what he claimed was an Israeli jet or IAF jet that at least one that had launched tactical nukes at the way he put it was, it was a mountain, which indicated that it was Fordow, but it could have been the other facility as well, Natanz, because that's by the Pickaxe Mountain. So it could have been either one. And he said it was a historic fire. A historic fire. Okay, so that was Dr. David O'Rourke, and that was going all the way back to 2010. So now we have renewed discussions that are taking place about whether or not they should try to do it with boots on the ground or a nuclear bomb. Boots on the ground or a nuclear bomb. Boots on the ground or a nuclear bomb. Back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. That's what's happening evidently right now in this window of time. So you had this seriously broken, and it was just covered with lies of filth, just hippopotamus dookie everywhere, Draco T back in action, telling, word salad, lying word salad, which is what he feeds the public, feeds Fox News, feeds the people, feeds your mom, feeds your dad, everybody that you try to get through to that you can't get through to because they're limited. Stop throwing your pearls before those who are limited. Let them go. All right. But here's the thing. They've been talking about it for a very, very long time. Praise God. Okay, so here, just to refresh your memory, I'm going to go ahead and play this for you. Prophecy of nuclear war coming to Iran. 1 minute, 22 seconds, but I have other ones as well. But let's go ahead and listen to that. Just to embed it. Let's embed it because it's important. Here we go.
Bloodshed that you see on the earth.
Das ist das Blutvergießen, das auf der Erde sieht.
Let me tell you about the war coming to Iran. I see two nuclear missiles strike a nuclear facility.
Ich sehe zwei atomare Missiles, die eine atomare Fazilität treffen.
And that facility is at the foot of a mountain in the desert.
Und diese Fazilität ist am Fuß eines Berges in der Wüste.
And it is in Iran.
Und es ist in Iran.
And the fire that comes from there.
Und das Feuer, das daraus entsteht,
is the most historic fire.
Ist das historischste Feuer,
that the earth has ever lived to see.
Das die Erde jemals gesehen hat.
All right, there you go. That goes all the way, that particular recording goes all the way back to 2010. And so we got articles from IDF retired. I mean, you got the vision from O'Rourke. I mean, the list is so humongous. And now, back right there in the middle of the news stream on X, okay, they're talking about it again. Are we going to do it boots on the ground? Or are we going to do it with a nuclear bomb? Because any other thing is not going to work. They've come... Anyone who's involved in the decision-making process has already identified as a fact that there is nothing on Earth that is a conventional weapon. Bunker busters, doesn't matter. It can't get down far enough. Now, this whole thing about what they did with the Fort Dow facility with the B-2 bombers, that was all just laced with lies from Draco D. It's the whole hippo thing. So if you want to know when I keep on bringing up the hippo thing, what I'm talking about, just go to YouTube and type in hippo poop. Hippo, H-I-P-P-O, space, P-O-O-P. Hippo poop. All right? And you're going to see a YouTube video in the collection that shows up, and you will see one of the defensive mechanisms that hippopotamuses use to make their prey go away and stop bothering them. And what it is they start to spin their tail around and around and around, and then they do like Draco T does whenever he speaks, and lets this, you know, stuff come flying out of all over the place. Okay, so that's what we're dealing with. Now, so anyway, okay, so let me go ahead and do what I should have done a long time ago. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your name. Thank you, Father, for delivering me through these impossible projects. Thank you, Father, for also doing it in a graceful way that I'll be able to continue to do the show as much as I'd like to, and even more. Father, I would like to get to one night in the evening during the weekdays and one morning on the weekends, if I can at all. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that. Father, also, in the name of Jesus, there are a lot of people that may be listening to this show. Maybe they're not regular listeners. Maybe a lot of this stuff is new to them. We pray that you will reveal to their hearts the truths that we're talking about right now. There's a lot of folks, Father, that are running in a highway of mass deception that seems to be the vast majority of our brothers and sisters worldwide. Some know, but the vast majority, Father, you know. It's the deception, the Schofield lies, the incredible amount of limited understanding that's out there is beyond shocking. And Father, we pray for them. We ask you in the name of Jesus, not only do we ask you that you will shower down an innumerable company of angels of light and love and your presence into the dreams and visions of the people that are in the affected areas of this world, and even in the areas that aren't affected, parts of Africa that are going through other troubles like this really, really bad Ebola strain. Father, we just pray that you will come upon them in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep falls upon men, when they slumbereth upon their bed, so that you would seal their instruction and save their souls from the pit. Actually, it goes the other way around. Thank you, Father. Father, if anyone out there who is of the darkness finds their way to this program, we pray that you will make good eyes blind, good ears deaf. Make it, Father, so that they are either riveted and continue to listen and find Jesus as their Lord and Savior and make the change that will take away all of their fear. So many people are full of fear, Father. So many people are full of fear. And they don't understand people like us. Well, at least me, and I don't know how many of you out there listening, don't see this as anything to be afraid of. Okay, praise God. I don't. I just, all I ask, Father, of you, and I'm sure that others that are listening to this program, all we ask is that please, Father, if we are to get Isaiah 57 wand and taken off of this earth, the righteous perishes and no one takes it to heart, that merciful men are taken away while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. If that is to happen to us, Father, we pray that it'll be painless, and that we'll be able to come home to you quickly. For at midnight we will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. Psalm 119:62. 7 times a day I will praise you because of your righteous judgments. Psalm 119:164. And 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because he gets to hang out with you. I want to hang out with Jesus, don't you? I would think so. I can't imagine why anybody wouldn't want to. That would be just like too cool for words. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So anyway, I did want to share that now it's being discussed openly once again. What are they going to do? They can't use, you know, bunker busters. None of them will penetrate down far enough, especially for the Natanz facility that I just mentioned, which is by the Pickaxe Mountain. Okay, the Pickaxe, P-I-C-K-A-X-E, Pickaxe. All right, evidently that Natanz facility is really, really deep. Okay, that's what they're saying. And the Natanz facility, it says here, Natanz is a city and county in Iran's Isfahan province, located roughly 220 kilometers or 135 miles south of Tehran. It sits at the foot of the Carcass Mountain Range and is primarily known as the site of Iran's primary heavily fortified underground uranium enrichment complex, the Natanz nuclear facility. Sounds to me like whatever it was that Dr. David O'Rourke saw in his vision that he was getting translated in German, okay, in 2010, it sounds to me like Natanz was what he was talking about. But, you know, we just got to go with the flow. Praise God. And just, you know, as things get irritating to you, as they do, even, you know, all of us get irritated once in a while. It's one of the devil's greatest ways to throw us off of our Jesus game. He wants us to be irritated. He wants us to be angry. He wants us to be frustrated. He wants us to throw our hands up in the air and say, "Dag nabbit!" Okay? He does. He does. Father, turn away any evil eyes, make them blind, or save their souls. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Thank you so much. All right. So anyway, there's that. So that plays a very significant role in all of these dynamics. Another one here is Trump is now threatening to bomb bridges. That would be Draco D, I should have said. Threatening to bomb bridges and power plants in Iran unless talks resume. Interesting. So all the lies that were spewed forth from Draco T, which he's pathological, and he's also, I don't know, insane. He's insane. Those lies, the endless stream of lies and word salad garbage, because he's a magician level Scottish Rite, just like Marina Abramovic said, and she was so happy about that. Well, now we know why, because he's got the whole world hoodwinked. All right? Oh, that's just the whole thing. It's just the idea. Did you know, if you think about it, Trump, Draco T's last day in the office of the president is 2029. Isn't it something? Right before what might be the start of the Great Tribulation. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought of that? Yeah. I was sitting around mulling all this over, and I said to myself, when exactly does he leave office? And sure enough, it's January of 2029. How about that? That puts it right before 2030. It points at, he could actually be physically in office when the Apophis meteor smashes into the earth. Well, actually, it'll probably happen right after that. So I don't know. None of us know for certain. But you know what? Sometime between now and 2030, sometime between now, which unfortunately is only the middle of 2026, there's got to be World War III. And everything is lining up for it. The data centers that they're building, all of that's for the Mark of the Beast. All of this stuff that they're doing is for that. The surveillance state that they're creating, it's all for that purpose. It's all for the setting up of the Great Tribulation. Praise God. All right. And on that note, it brings us to the end of the first hour, and I'll see you on the second hour in, well, hopefully pretty soon, but some people wait a couple of days before they get to the second hour, however, whatever works the best for you. And yes, I may have sound irritated. I'm surrounded with, at work, I'm surrounded with a lot of limited people, okay? I'm just trying to be as nice as I can. And there really is no point in trying to explain anything because they won't listen. Oh my gosh, it sounds like our families, doesn't it? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. See you on hour number two.